Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
Blueprints. What do you call a guy with the blueprints? A man with a plan. That was one little dad joke that barely squeaked in from last week. It was lost. I pulled it in. Paul, this series we're in called Blueprints is based on the books of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And when you're sort of starting out reading the Bible, it can be confusing. Why is the book of Timothy called Timothy? Was it written by Timothy? Well, sometimes that is the case. If it's the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, it was written by those guys. But when it comes to Timothy, it wasn't written by Timothy, it was written to Timothy by the Apostle Paul. And he was writing to Timothy, his understudy, who was leading a church in Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, and just trying to help him with guidelines for the church. And the church, our church forefathers, believed that these letters were so important that they were not just for Timothy and Ephesus, but they were for all of us. And so it's really good to study these letters because they have morphed into what we call the Word of God. These are a blueprint that we could use for all the churches, you know, in the world today. And it transcends specific regions. It transcends centuries, millennia, and it's applicable today. So if you haven't read it yet, I want to encourage you to read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy so you can yourself get a grasp on these books. And they're short, and honestly, they're pretty self-explanatory. There is some that needs a little bit of context to it and how it applies in 2023, the bigger picture behind some of the details that are in there. What I'm going to do today is cover two chapters, chapter 4 and 5, and I'm actually going to flip it and start with chapter 5, and we're not going to be going line by line today. There's, in chapter 5, it's very detailed, and I'm not going to cover all of it. I encourage you to read it. Please read it. But there is a nugget I want to pull out of chapter 5 that applies to us at Promised Land, and it's verses 5 through 8. So why don't we read that. It says, now a true widow. Somebody say true. Does that mean there's fake widows out there? What's he saying? Now a true widow is a woman who is truly alone, has placed her hope in God. She prays night and day and asking God for his help. But the widow who lives only for pleasure is spiritually dead even while she lives. We can extrapolate on that for everybody. Everybody in the house, whether you have lost a loved one or not. If you're living only for pleasure, you're spiritually dead, even while you're living. Give these instructions to the church so that no one will be open to criticism. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. So Paul is instructing Timothy a couple of things here. The first is that not all needy people are the same. And the second is that it's okay to have strategy when helping with those who have needs. Now sometimes, and this is mainly people outside of the church, but they feel like the church should help everybody no matter what. And Paul is our leader here telling us actually that's not the case, that the church needs to be wise stewards of the resources that they have, and that not all people that are needy are the same. So think about that. Promised Land gives away thousands and thousands of dollars every year to people that have needs. And it goes beyond people that have lost a spouse. It goes beyond widows. But it goes to people that have needs. We had people come in the office this week that had needs. And so what do? How do we distribute the money that has been so generously given to Promised Land? How do we distribute that in a way that follows what the Bible says? Well, we have what we call our benevolence committee. This is a group of people in the church that are not pastors and not staff. They're just members of the church that we've selected to help distribute. And so what happens is somebody comes to us, and we have criteria for people that we've never met before, people from just off the street, people that have visited the church, people that have been a church, part of the church for a little while, people that are, like this says, a woman who is truly in need and prays day and night, is on the, like, serving here, giving, dream team member, you know, like people that are really invested in the family of God. We have criteria with our benevolence committee that really lines up with 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 16, because I didn't read verses 9 through 16, but it goes into detail about who to help and who not to help. So what we have done is we've taken these scriptures and we have created a model for 2023 to help people that are in need. And you help a lot of people. Thousands and thousands of dollars go out every year to help people with their mortgage, with their rent, with the utilities. We give food to anybody. And without question, we'll give people food if they need food. All these different scenarios are looked at. We pray over it. I'm not involved in it, but we have some solid Promised Land folks that make that decision. God is calling us to be wise stewards over the resources that we've been given. And the scripture is also saying that God doesn't want us to be lazy. He's saying here that there's people that should be taking care of their family, and they're not. And they're capable, but they've squandered the opportunity, and they're not taking care of their own family. And it doesn't just say, oh, these people, they're not good people. No, it says that they are worse. The King James Version says they're worse than an infidel. This translation says they're worse than sinners, worse than unbelievers. So the Bible is telling us to take all of this into account. There's needs, there's the amount of resources that we have, and then there's the person's heart and their own personal stewardship that they're doing over their life. So I'm just laying all this out so you'll know that's how we do it. I promise then. Okay, let's hop back into chapter 4. Chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 7. It says, don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourselves to be godly. Train yourselves to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Cue my prop. Thank you. So, Paul is instructing Timothy, and I told them to get the smallest one they could find so that I could not demonstrate it too accurately, but Paul is saying, hey, let's look at physical training. Let's use it as an example, and it does benefit a little bit, okay? Get yourself healthy physically, but he's using it as an analogy for our spiritual life. And he's saying that your spiritual life is very similar to working out your physical body. However, whatever exercises you're doing in order to build your physical body, train yourselves to be godly. Maybe you should just write that down, think about it, meditate on that. I need to train myself. I need to train myself to be godly. It's like physical training. What is it about this that is helping me physically? It's all about resistance. It's all about the destruction of the muscle in a workout. Because, you know, after you work out, you're tired, you're exhausted. If you do leg day, the next day, you know, you're like, you can't walk around if you haven't done anything in a while. Or the first day you work out, especially deadlift. If you haven't done deadlifts in a while and you're doing deadlifts the next day, you're just like, walking around. Why? Because the muscles literally have been broken down. And the idea is that they will come back stronger. So you feed yourself protein and you're trying to eat a healthy diet and drink proper nutritious drinks in order to feed the muscles that are trying to grow back after you exercise, right? And so he's using that same metaphor to instruct us. This is how he wants us to think about our spiritual journey. And so maybe you just need to be aware of that, that your spiritual journey is not just something that just happens. It's not just something that floats onto you and it's fixed or it's done or it's finished. But that this, you know, I talked about this last week, this sanctification process of us getting holy, is us getting righteous. Last week talked about in chapter 3 that is a worthwhile goal to grow and to push yourself. And it's the same thing in this chapter right here. Is he's telling us to train ourselves to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. And what does it do? It says promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So we train, we push, we work out, we sweat it out. Verse 10 and 11 says, this is why we work hard and continue to struggle. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. So this resistance of working out is what breaks down the muscle and then it grows back stronger. I want you to think about your spiritual life and the struggles that you're going through. And I want you to think about how God is going to rebuild you as you go through the processes that you go through. The life scenarios that you're going through that begin to wear on you and are difficult to you. That you don't like, right? We don't like things that happen to us in life. I don't want this to happen. Go away problems, right? And it can be very frustrating when we're going through difficult times. I want you to start getting the mindset of, I'm working out my spirit right now. My spirit is being worked out right now, and I'm going to come back stronger than I was before. And so what Paul is saying here is don't waste the struggle. Don't waste the heartache. Allow this situation to grow your faith, to grow your spiritual life. Allow situations of resistance or pain to grow your faith. This is really a mindset shift. Like we're always going through things in life thinking, I wish it was different. I wish it was better. I want to get through this to this place where I never have these situations again. And what Paul is saying is as long as you live on this broken earth, you're going to keep going through difficult stuff. But don't waste it. Don't allow the situation to dictate your mentality or your perception of the world. Instead, say, you know what, God? It's just like one, two, come on. I'm working it out. I'm allowing the struggle in my life to grow me. And I am going to be stronger. I'm going to feed myself the Word of God. That's the protein that I need to grow back my muscles stronger, my spiritual life stronger. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to assemble with the other believers on a regular basis on Sunday morning. I'm going to come to revival in August. I'm going to go to a small group. I'm going to serve. I'm going to feed myself the Word of God and be in the community of the believers to get myself strong as I'm growing through this struggle. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Y'all hearing what the Word of God says? And so as your coach, I'm here to cheer you on. And honestly, I need you to cheer me on as I go through struggle. But we got to push each other, encourage each other, train each other. There's many times that, you know, we call it counseling or pastoral counseling, or, you know, when people come and we talk, that's my opportunity to talk to you and train you through that workout, that difficulty, that struggle that you're going through. Whatever it is that you're struggling, whatever that you're walking through, I'm there to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Get up on the dry erase board. Okay, X's and O's, run plays, and here's how we're going to do this. We're together in this. And what he's saying here to Timothy is, teach these things and insist. Isn't that a powerful word? I insist that you focus here. Look at me. We're going to make this. You're going to make this. God is with you. You're going to make it through the other side. And so let me just speak to you right now. Some of y'all are in the middle of something that's very, very difficult. And maybe it is something that you brought on yourself. You know, you slipped and you fell and you've made a mistake. And now you're trying to sort through the consequences of that mistake. Just like I started this, I want to continue this message by saying, Promised Land is a safe place for you to make a fall and get back up and keep going. Don't go back to the old life. Don't regress back to the old nature. But instead, get up, dust yourself off. Let's go. You're going to make it. It's okay. We all make mistakes. We all get in these situations. We struggle from time to time. But I'm glad. Can we mute that? Because every time it goes off, I think I'm watching football or something like that. Okay. Allow these situations to grow your faith. And I'm gonna be right there with you, and your ministry team's gonna be there with you. The people I talked about last week, the elders of the church, the pastors of the church, we're here for you to help you through each and every one of these situations. Now, this next passage is one that we share with, you know, the Promise Kids, you know, like VBS. We share it with the student ministry, junior high and high school, college students, like, you know, that group of people. But it's really for anybody in here that is young in the faith, young in age. 1 Timothy 4:12. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church. Encourage the believers. You know what? Let me go back. Where are we? See? Y'all okay? There's a specific scripture I'm looking for. Where is it? There it is, right here. I found it. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. It's a lot. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. Some of you are new to the faith, new to Promised Land, young in age. And you're using that maybe as an excuse to be like, well, I'm just new here. I don't really know what's going on. This is where Paul's like, no. You've been forgiven and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And he has redeemed you good. He has said that you are good. So let's go. It's time for you to stand up, be accountable, start growing, start getting in the word. Be an example to all the believers in what you say. What's coming out of your mouth? Maybe this is a good time for inventory. For us to see, like, what kind of language is coming out of my mouth. And I'm not just talking about profanity, but I'm talking about, like, how are you speaking to other people? What's your tone of voice? What's your attitude? What are you saying? And how are you directing people with your words? In the way that you live, your lifestyle, your habits, and your love, how do you love other people, in your faith and your purity? There's a lot there. And I want to encourage you to take that passage. That's why I wanted to find it, because I wanted to make sure we got this passage. This is 1 Timothy 4:12. meditate on this passage, read it this week, pray through this passage. And, you know, if you're new to this idea, what you do is you just take 1 Timothy 4 and 12, and you'll just read it this week. And then you'll start thanking God, speak to me, Lord. What word in this is standing out? What are you trying to say to me? What are you speaking to me? And allow God to speak to you. In those prayerful times, the scriptures begin to speak to you. God's word begins to speak to you. And you start journaling. You start praying about it. Lord, I want to shape my life around your word. Lord, help me. Forgive me. I repent of the sin of my life. This is how we pray through the scriptures. I want to encourage you. This is a great one right here because it is so detailed, right? Be an example. Be an example to all the believers in what you say, with the way you live, and your love, and your faith, and your purity. Where is it that you're struggling? Where is it that you're not living up to that? And so, like I said earlier, if you messed up in one of these areas, get up and let's go. Get up and let's go. Until I get there, here's the second part. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. Very, very simple. And here's the final passage, 1 Timothy 4, 14 through 16. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Now let's stop there just for a second. Here's a part in the chapter where Paul is taking these two ideas, these two concepts, and reconciling them together. So, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks when we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. He talks about the power of laying on of hands and there being spiritual transformation because a pastor, leader, and elder has physically laid hands on you and there's been something transferred to you through spiritual transformation. And we believe that at Promised Land. We believe in the power of spiritual transformation, that there is supernatural manifestation of God, that he's moving through you and that he can use the people in the church to lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, pray for you, cast out devils, deliver sickness, all kind of things. We believe in the supernatural power of God and the gifts of the Spirit. So he's touching on them a little bit right here. And he says, don't neglect that. Don't neglect that spiritual transformation that you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. And I want to encourage you, if you've never experienced that, the next time, we can do it today. We can lay hands on you today and pray for you. I want to encourage you to lean into that, like physically lean into that. Say, Lord, I want whatever you've got for me. And if there's something that you have for me with people laying hands on me and praying for me, Lord, I want it. And I welcome that. See, we've been talking really all last week and up until this about the training, the working out. That's like our role, our part in it. There's a balance here. This is why I'm saying he's reconciling these two concepts of us doing work to work out our faith, to build up our faith, to read the Word of God, to get involved, to participate. To, you know, that's our role. But this other side is this spiritual transformation part that basically we're just saying, Lord, do it. And God does it. You got to have both. That's what Paul is saying here. You got to have both. Don't neglect this part and train yourself over here. Lay hands on people and work it out. Y'all get it? That's what he's saying. Don't neglect the spiritual gift you've received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your task so that everyone sees your progress. So right there it is. Here's the two sides. You've received this through the spiritual gifts, but now throw yourselves into the work of God. Throw yourselves into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Man, this is so deep, right? This is so heavy, really, that there is a mantle of a responsibility. And I want to reiterate that this is not just for me as the pastor, the senior pastor of Promised Land, or maybe the pastors, elders of the church. But really, this is the mantle on the believers. The believers, everyone in here has a role to play in this. And he's not just talking to leaders here, he's talking to the church, to throw yourselves into the work of God. Don't be timid. Don't be shy about it. Just like Pastor Chris was talking about next steps next Sunday at the 10:30 service, throw yourselves into next steps. Get there. And when you get there, be all ears and be like, I'm ready. I'm ready to do the work of God. I'm ready to get connected in a local church. I'm ready to be under the submission of leadership. I'm ready to humble myself. I'm ready to serve the work of God. I'm ready to build the kingdom of God in Promised Land in Central Texas. I'm ready for that. Throw yourselves into it. And then also don't neglect the fact that God has spiritual things he wants to impart to you that come through this obedience of just laying on of hands and praying for you and believing that God's going to be revealed in this rhythm, of us doing everything we can to strengthen ourselves and to push through the struggle and to train ourselves and to lean in and throw ourselves into the work of God, but then say, Lord, there's a part of this that only you can do. There's a supernatural thing that only you can do. I'm not going to be completely over here in this spaced out weird space, and I'm not going to be way over here spaced out into this legalistic space over here. But I really want to blend. I want this holy blend of both, where the Spirit of the Lord is moving in my life and there's fruit and there's gifts of the Spirit that are evident, Lord, but I'm also disciplined and stewarding over what you've given me, and I'm pushing and I'm training and I'm leaning in. Amen. Stand to your feet right now. Let's go to God in prayer. And if there's anybody in here that's struggling with something and you would like further prayer, please come to the front as we dismiss. We'll pray with you. We'll lay hands on you. We'll anoint you. And maybe you don't have any problems in your life. You just want a prayer. I love that when people come up and just say, I just want prayer. Just pray for me, for whatever. So we love doing that as well. But why don't we all come together in a conversation right now with God? Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to you right now. Thank you so much for the body. Thank you so much for a place together on a Sunday morning. Thank you, God, for air conditioner. Thank you, God, for worship team. Thank you, God, for ministry to our kids and to our students and just hospitality team and production, everybody that goes so far into making this happen, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for that. It's our honor and privilege to gather together here this morning and to praise you and to worship you and to lift you up, Jesus. Right now, we're saying we humble ourselves and we surrender ourselves to you, God, that you would show us and teach us and shape us and change us from the inside out, God. Why don't you just confess that to the Lord right now? God, I need you to change me from the inside out, Lord. Please forgive me of my sin. Please help me. Please help me, Lord, with my past, my present, my future. I trust in you, Jesus. I put my faith in you, Jesus. From this day forward, God, I want to live for you. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my focus. And Lord, I welcome, come on, let's make it clear. I welcome your Holy Spirit in my life. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, I pray. In the beautiful, wonderful name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.